of Egypt. And having saved them out of the land of Egypt, they traveled for 40 years in the wilderness until they got to the promised land. But it says, God destroyed them that believed not. And the majority of men who were traveling through the wilderness, they didn't believe God, and therefore he destroyed them. So what was their sin? Their sin was a sin of unbelief. Unbelief. And this is all to do with the word of God. It was unbelief in the word of God. God had promised them a land, but they were too fearful to enter into it. So they were destroyed through unbelief. The second one, and we won't go into the details of this, is in verse 6. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, God hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So evidently, the angels did not keep their first estate. And because they didn't keep the position that God had given them. So God reserved them in everlasting chains. And their sin was one of disobedience to God's word. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7, the third example he gives from the past. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Another example of apostasy, and this one is of gross immorality. So we've got the sin of unbelief, the sin of disobedience, and the sin of gross immorality. That's another three that Jude gives us. Verse 8, likewise also, he says, these filthy dreamers. This is what he calls the apostates. They are filthy dreamers, looking after themselves. They defile the flesh, number one. They despise dominion, and they speak evil of dignities. Three things that these filthy dreamers do. And Jude, or God through Jude, says, woe unto them. Why does he say that? For they have gone in the way of Cain. What was the way of Cain? Well, Cain slew his brother Abel, right back there in the beginning of Genesis. And he also says, and they ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. So if you want another triplet, you've got Cain, Balaam, and Korah. So we know what happened to Cain, don't we? We know that Cain slew his brother. Why did he slay his brother? He would have known the words of God from his parents, Adam and Eve, and he chose to ignore them. Cain ignored the word of God. That's what he did, plain and simple, there in the beginning of Genesis. And because he ignored the word of God, he didn't bring a blood sacrifice to God. He brought a beautiful, maybe bowl of fruit, and the fruit of the ground, and it probably looked amazing, a bit like we do on, what's the day we, harvest, thank you, that's the word I was looking for. On harvest, we have all the fruit and the flowers and the vegetables all on the table there. And it looks amazing, doesn't it? And that's what this man Cain did. He thought that will be acceptable to God. But he knew differently. He knew differently. He would have known from his parents. Abel brought a more acceptable sacrifice to God. Probably didn't look as good. Can you imagine a lamb covered in blood, slain? And yet he brought the sacrifice that God demanded. But this man, he brought what he thought was right, not what God had told him was right. So he ignored God's word. And then we come to Balaam. Remember him with the donkey, don't you, from Sunday school? The man with the donkey that spoke. And we won't go into that because we haven't got time. But Balaam, for reward, he looked for reward. And because he looked for reward, he opposed the word of God. So if Cain ignored the word of God, Balaam opposed the word of God. He opposed it. And we see a downward declension here, a decline in the things that were done. Cain simply ignored the word of God. Balaam opposed the word of God. And then we see Korah. Now, if you don't know the story of Korah, you can see it in Exodus chapter 6 and Numbers chapter 16. And it's very, very interesting. But Korah outrightly rebelled against the word of God. I wonder if there's someone here tonight who's ignoring the word of God, maybe. Or maybe opposing the word of God. Ah, that bit can't be right. Because, you know, from the things I know and the things I've learned, it's not right. So I'm going to leave that bit out. And we oppose it. So we can easily ignore it, can't we? And even as believers and Christians, we can ignore it by putting it on the shelf and leaving it there. But we can oppose it as well. We shouldn't oppose it. I think it's Pastor Ed who was with us a few weeks ago, and he says, if God's word says it, and I believe it, then it is so. Something along those lines. But then he changes it and he says, if God's word says it, then it is so. Whether I believe it or not makes no difference at all. And that's true, isn't it? And we've got to realize that God in his word is speaking to each one of us. And he's speaking directly to each one of us through his word. And we're seeing so much of sin in this chapter so far. It's a bit heavy, isn't it? I don't think we'll find anything lighter, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. So we've got Cain, Balaam and Korah ignoring, opposing and rebelling against the word of God. And then he comes to more illustrations of apostasy. And these illustrations of apostasy are found in nature. Verse 12. And here we haven't got three, we've got five examples. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. What a bleak picture. Let's try and unpick these five illustrations of apostasy from nature. Let's look at the first one. It says, these are spots in your feasts of charity. Well, we know from Corinthians that the believers met together in the church and they had the Lord's Supper. And at the Lord's Supper, they also had a meal. And at the meal, they were doing things that were not right. The rich were coming in with their fine fare and their party and foie de gras and all the rest of it, all their wonderful foods, and the poor were hardly able to eat. And it was wrong, and it was not glorifying God. And that were the feasts of charity referred to in Corinthians. But these are spots, it says, and spots in this instance could be a blemish, but in fact, it is talking about hidden rocks that are under the sea. What a picture of apostasy. A hidden rock under the sea. And you were coming along in your boat, cruising along nicely in the sun shining, and the hidden rock rips a big hole in your boat, and you end up at the bottom of the sea. What a picture of apostasy. The second one he speaks of is those clouds. They are without water, carried about of winds. That's all he says about it. Clouds they are without water. I want to take you to Israel or the Middle East, and you see a Middle Eastern shepherd leading his sheep. I've spoken on this recently, haven't I? So in this country, in Wales, we chase them around with a quad bike. But in the Middle Eastern countries, the shepherd leads the sheep. And he's constantly looking at the clouds. The clouds are there. Maybe there's no clouds and there's just one coming in the distance. And he has great hope for that cloud because he needs the rain to provide green grass so that the sheep can eat. But the clouds pass by, or this one cloud passes by, and there's no water, there's no rain. And because there's no rain, the sheep go hungry. They have no grass to feed upon. So that's another example of apostasy. Then we go down in that verse, and he speaks about trees. So first of all, we had the hidden rocks. Then we've got the clouds, and now we've got the trees. And it says about the trees, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. What a disappointment. A tree that might have had buds, a tree that might have had leaves, and yet it never produces any fruit. And that's another picture of apostasy. The fourth one is this. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom... Forget the wandering stars a minute, we'll come back to them. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. And we see, if we were to go to the coast, we are very fortunate living in where we are. You can go to the coast in a matter of half an hour, 35 minutes, 40 minutes maybe, to Barry, Ogmore, Penarth, wherever. But wherever you go to the rocks off the coast of Wales, you will see bits floating about in the sea. And the waves come in and the waves go out and they toss back and forth. And with it, they bring in flotsam and jetsam and residue and plastic bottles and all the rest of the things that are being talked about today. That is a disappointment. And finally, he says, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And that is a picture of a falling star falling from heaven. And on a dark night, we might see something that catches our eye and it comes right through the sky and lands and is gone forever and it disappears. Another picture of apostasy. What does that mean to the church of God? What does that mean to the churches that Jude was talking about? Well, these rocks under the sea speak of tragedy for the church. The clouds without water speak of drought. The withered fruit speaks of famine. The raging waves of the sea speak about pollution. And the wandering stars speak of darkness. Ooh, this message is getting worse, isn't it? But it does get better. It does get better. We'll go on towards the end of the chapter. He speaks about ungodly men. He speaks about Enoch. And I'd love to speak about Enoch tonight, but there's not enough time. Enoch in verse 14, he says, and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these apostates, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. But who wrote that? Well, it was Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Enoch, we know from the scriptures. In Genesis chapter 5, he walked with God. In Hebrews chapter 11, he pleased God. And in Luke chapter 3, he believed God. So he was a man who was not an apostate, and he knew not, for God took him. He walked with God, he pleased God, he believed God. And that's what God wants us to do, is that we walk with him, we please him, and we believe with all our hearts in him and all that he does for us. So, we come towards the end of the chapter. And there's this beautiful benediction at the end of the chapter. You see, Jude is speaking to believers, and although he's warning them, and he's warning them in a harsh way, really, in a difficult way, must have been so difficult to write this, he's speaking to them, and he's saying that there are apostates, and they are coming in and creeping in unawares into your churches. His message to them is that you are kept, you are sanctified, and you are called. And if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, If we've trusted in the blood that he shed at the place called Calvary, then we are called, sanctified, and we are kept by the will of God. And then down to verse 24, and we'll wind up with this verse. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. He speaks of beloved, as we've seen already, three times. And with every time that he mentions beloved, he gives the church an instruction. And that instruction comes out to us tonight. The first one is in verse 3, and he said, beloved, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's our charge for tonight, is to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto us. Contend there is a word, is a military term. A military term that was for soldiers more than anybody else. In a war, in a battle. And we're not in a playground tonight. We are in a battle, as A.W. Tozer once said. And we are to contend for the faith. The second one, found in verse 17. But beloved, he says, remember. So that's the charge to us. Remember ye the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the words of the apostles. They spoke as the oracles of God. Remember them. Remember them. And remember your faith. And the third one is verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So the charge to each one of us tonight is to contend, to remember, but also to build up ourselves with the Word of God and to build up each other in the Word of God. Sure, God will add his blessing to the reading of his Word tonight and bless maybe some of the words that have been spoken. But if there's someone here who doesn't really know what I was talking about, please speak to me after. And as we speak, perhaps you will realize that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for you. He died for all of us, but he died for you. And you need salvation. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. If we're never saved, the wrath that is spoken of in that chapter, the terrible things that are spoken of in that chapter, will be our just reward for our deeds, because we have ignored the word of God. We have opposed the word of God and we've rebelled against the word of God. I hope that's not true of anybody here in Bethany tonight or anybody online, but that we all realize and we all know and we are all assured that we know Christ as our Savior for his name's sake. Amen. Father, we praise thee again for this evening. And we praise thee for those wonderful words of Scripture. We thank thee, our God, that we have been able to read it in our own language. We pray that by thy Spirit this evening that you have given us an understanding of it. And we pray that if it is just one who knows not Christ as Savior, that they will turn to him, realizing that the blood that was shed on that center cross was shed for rebels, shed for sinners, but it was also shed for me. We praise thee, our God and Father, for every blessing we have in thy Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now we'll close by singing, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brother Terry would commend us to God in prayer. Thank you, Terry.
Lord, help you, Father. It's been such a blessing today, this morning service and here this evening. We stand solidly on your word, and that is the one thing about this church, Lord. We do not veer away to the left or to the right, but we stand exactly on your word. What it says, this church stands on. I'm so grateful for that. And Lord Jesus, I pray your blessing to each of us for what we've heard this evening. Lord, there is so much in this little book of Jude. It is something that we should read and read and get so much out of it. And to think that there we are, we can be presented before His glory with exceeding joy. Lord, that's me, a broken sinner. And it's so amazing, Lord, it's for each of us that we can be presented before His glory. And that's with exceeding joy. The Lord will be so pleased to do that for us. Lord, we give you thanks and praise. Pray that you will walk with us during this week and go from here and give us opportunities to speak of you.